fasten your seatbelts, and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Despite promising efforts, the relentless trauma and indignities of homelessness remain a daily reality for thousands of men, women, and children in Wisconsin. Hundreds, even thousands of them live in central and northern Wisconsin. Some live out of vehicles and tents, others double up in apartments or motel rooms. Still others sleep outside or take shelter in parking ramps and stairwells, blocks away from streets that are lined with popular bars and restaurants. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Last month, city officials in Wausau passed an ordinance that would prohibit anyone from sheltering in downtown parking ramps. The proposal did draw criticism, but at the same time reignited a conversation that centers not around punishing the city's homeless residents, but instead finding new, long-term solutions to combat the problem. Joining us today is Wausau Police Chief Ben Bliven to offer some background and insight into the homeless situation in Wausau and talk about some new initiatives being discussed to help ensure all area residents can find a safe place to shelter. Welcome, Chief.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Shereen.
Thank you. We're also joined by Joe Volk. Joe is the executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness. It's a statewide agency that seeks workable solutions that combat homelessness and find permanent housing for all. Thank you so much for joining us, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Also in the studio is Dan Mills from Catholic Charities in Wausau to talk about his organization's efforts, including Beyond Shelter, which operates from a housing first standpoint, moving long-term street homeless residents directly into housing, then linking them to the support services they need to keep them off the streets. So, Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We'll take your calls and questions, too. Join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. Chief, let's start with Wausau's loitering ordinance. It recently went into effect. If you could give us a little bit of background on that, what it does and why it was proposed in the first place.
So the last several years at the police department, we've been having discussions with downtown business owners, employees that work downtown, people that visit downtown, about some of the issues that they experience in some of our parking ramps. And so some of those issues, for example, are people sleeping in the stairwells. They experience people having sexual intercourse in the stairwells. There's urine and fecal matter in those locations. Sometimes suspicious vehicles. Suspect there are drug deals occurring in those areas. There's on the top of one of the ramps specifically, there's a lot of kids that hang out on the top of those ramps. And so there's a lot of concern of, and a lack of feeling of safety in using those stairwells and those ramps when those types of activities are occurring there. And so, we've been asked by those individuals that are using those ramps to try and remedy that problem, which isn't an easy thing to do. So, leading up to the ordinance, we have spent a lot of time in those stairwells, patrolling the stairwells, giving extra patrols, talking to the individuals that are utilizing those ramps to keep warm. At the end of the day, we asked our city council to make a policy decision on whether or not they believe it's okay and that we should allow people to stay in the stairwells overnight and stay warm there and loiter. And so that was the background to why we asked for that ordinance. So the discussion of homelessness arose because some of the individuals that use those stairwells are homeless. And, I think it's been a really good community discussion, a good opportunity for us as a community to come together and talk about the homeless issue that does exist in the Wausau community. And I don't think we're a unique community. I talk to chiefs across the state that are experiencing similar issues. And so I think it's good to raise the awareness of our community about homelessness. I don't think this ordinance is about homelessness, even though it does impact individuals who are homeless. And so I think, some of the communications I've received from angry people in our community about why are we kicking these people out into the cold, they're making assumptions that that we're just going through. We're going to issue citations and shoo people along and not provide them assistance, and that just is patently false. We have some some of the best police officers around, in my opinion. We have some great officers who care so much. And, you know, any time that we encounter somebody in the stairwell in the nighttime, we ask them, can we connect you to services? Can we take you to the warming shelter? Can we bring you to the Salvation Army? Is there a family member we can call and connect you to? You know, we have a drive at the police department where we have, you know, hats and warm clothing so that we can provide those to people that need it. You know, but at the end of the day, people have civil rights, and we're not going to take people into custody or require them to go to shelter if they don't want to. And sometimes there are addiction issues that, you know, impact people's decision making in those regards. Sometimes there's mental health issues. So it's a really complex issue. But that's really the background that led up to our loitering ordinance.
Okay. Joe, I'd like to turn to you. I like your reaction about this, for one thing. But first, can you explain what the Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness is and what your role is there?
Well, sure. We're a statewide coalition. One of our prime initiatives is to try to get the state of Wisconsin through the legislature and the governor's office to create more resources for cities and counties to try to deal with these issues. And then we also provide technical assistance around the state. In fact, I've been to Wausau. I was there about 2 years ago at the invitation of the mayor and the common council. So I've been there. I know the city a bit, but we do that kind of technical assistance around the state.
Okay. Now, you and I spoke when this first arose, this Wausau's ordinance that went into effect recently. Are these types of policies working in other communities? I know, you know, legal issues aside, do they work?
Well, no. I mean, I think, first of all, from the homeless advocacy standpoint, I think it's important to say that we have to be sensitive about citizens who want to use parking ramps and you know, want them to be clean and don't want people sleeping there. That's something we have to be sensitive to, and therefore we have to be sensitive to the chief and the alderman and the mayor who have to respond to those citizenry concerns. I don't believe, and I was fairly clear when, for people that from Wausau that reached out to me, that I didn't think this was a good ordinance. At the end of the day, writing a citation to someone who is, you know, homeless sleeping in a stairwell only means that the next time that officer perhaps comes upon that person, or something else happens, this person isn't going to show up to court. It's going to end up in a warrant, and this person's going to end up in the county jail. And then at the end of that stay, they're going to come out to the county jail right back to the stairwell. So what I'm pleased to have seen, however, is that sometimes controversy can move things forward. And so I'm pleased to see that the chief has been asked to bring to the table a group of stakeholders to try to figure out what is a long-term comprehensive solution to this problem.
And we'll talk a little bit about the new initiatives and partnerships being discussed in just a moment. Dan, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your background, too. You work with Catholic Charities. What's your role there? And I'd like to hear about the Beyond Shelter initiative, what it is.
Well, the Beyond Shelter program actually started back in 2016 with one home. And the idea was that it was a permanent supported housing program designed for the most chronic homeless that we have in our community. Those are the individuals that have been out there so long that that's normal for them. And the goal was to help those individuals build the skills that they need to maintain that housing and potentially obtain housing on their own and move on. And we now have 3 houses here in the Wausau area. We're opening a 4th house in La Crosse this year, hopefully, and looking at other opportunities in other areas of our diocese.
How many people can you accommodate?
Well, we can only house 3 people in any single house. That's because there's an ordinance here in the city that prevents more than 3 unrelated adults living in a single structure. And so that's what we've worked with. Initially, I wanted to, you know, fight that, but, you know, it just kind of changed the way that we did things. And quite frankly, the dynamics in a house with chronically homeless men come with their own sets of baggage. So having three in there isn't a bad thing.
Okay. So you don't feel like a zoning change is something that would help in Wausau specifically?
I think that it would alleviate some of the affordability of housing. So I do think that we need to address that at some point. Okay. Whether it makes a difference within this program or not, I see an upside and a downside to it. So we've just kind of run with it as it is and do the best that we can.
After the ordinance issue emerged, a private Facebook group came out. I don't know if you've seen this, Chief Levin. It's called the Marathon County Community Outreach Task Force. It's a brand new group. About 400 members so far have joined it, the private group. Their mission is to support and assist the most vulnerable members of our community. It's a wide swath of people from all walks of life who are part of this community. And I've been taking a look at their page, some interesting ideas that are being discussed, some long-term solutions, but a lot of short-term things, like a group of members organized and dropped off donations for people who are living in Wausau underneath the bridge, for example. There's also a lot of discussion on no-barrier housing. Joe, maybe you can explain this. What is no-barrier housing?
Well, no-barrier housing, it kind of fits into the housing first mold. It can also be a shelter. I think from what I've heard coming out of Wausau is that a number of people are talking about what's called a wet shelter. So that is a facility where even if a person is perhaps drinking, maybe under the influence, but certainly not so bad as to have to go to a detox, that person would be led into the shelter. And it's a shelter that specializes in those types of folks. It's also kind of a housing first model where the idea is that, you know, the reason people are homeless is because they don't have any housing, because they have no home. So the first thing one wants to do is to provide that home to them and then take on all of those other issues such as mental health, alcohol, those things after somebody is in the home, as opposed to saying, until you stop drinking, until you go for your mental health treatment, we're not going to house you. So it's an attempt to move people into housing right away.
So, and I was reading about an experiment in Seattle. It started about 15 years ago with this very thing, the wet housing, where and now that experiment, which was once derided, really is being lauded. There are several peer-reviewed studies that show this to be a pretty effective idea that, you know, that people living on the streets won't fail at housing if they don't have to get sober first. So I guess. Dan, is the Beyond Shelter initiative, is that kind of, does that fall in the same, that kind of same form where they don't have to be sober first?
Yeah, we follow a housing first model. And what, as Joe explained, the idea is to house you first and then deal with all of the other barriers to housing once you're housed. And I get a lot of disagreement that, you know, I should pick and choose who gets housing, and it's not really like that. We basically take anybody that's on the state has a database. We take them as they are and work with them in the moment and try to get them the help that they need on a voluntary basis. So, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, can they drink there? Well, as long as it's legal for them to do so, they may. I ask, out of respect for Catholic Charities and the program and what we're trying to do, is that if they're going to do that, they keep that in their room. So if someone's on a restriction, a court order restriction where they can't have alcohol, well, then that's a violation of the law. So under the lease, it's a violation of the lease. They could lose their housing. I try desperately not to let that happen. So the goal is to use those opportunities as teaching moments and help them to grow past that. But at the end of the day, we can't force people to make the decisions that we want them to. We can only help them address those issues and understand and deal with the consequences of their actions.
Wausau Police Chief Ben Bliven, Dan Mills from Catholic Charities, and Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness Executive Director Joe Volk are our guests today on Route 51. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on homelessness in our region and potential solutions to help ensure safe housing for all our residents. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Wausau Police Chief Ben Bliven, Dan Mills from Catholic Charities, and Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness Executive Director Joe Volk are our guests today discussing solutions to homelessness throughout our region. We'd like to hear from you, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. Joe, there was a long lack of advocacy at the Capitol, but the Coalition Against Homelessness organized in early 2015. Then there was, in mid-2016, released a roadmap to ending homelessness in Wisconsin. Now, this provided specific policy and budget recommendations with a call to triple state funding. And at that time, Wisconsin's $3.3 million in direct spending fell pretty short of neighboring states. Minnesota, for example, $44.3 million. Illinois, $49.5 million. Where do these recommendations stand now? And can you give us some specifics on what would be recommended?
Well, we were almost there. We were almost set to triple the amount of funding that the state spends on this issue. Governor Walker was involved in creating an interagency council on the homeless in late 2018. The Walker administration put forth budget recommendations and a plan for how the state would address homelessness. That plan turned into eight bills that the Republican Assembly Majority Leader, Representative Steinicke, put forth into the Assembly. Of course, the governorship changed during that time, but Governor Evers endorsed those eight bills. And so we thought we had a wonderful bipartisan movement towards actually meeting that goal. And then it got to the Senate, and there were basically three Republican senators that balked at the plan. Even though if it would have gone to the floor, even with those three no votes, there would have been enough Democrats and Republicans to pass it. I might add that the eight bills in the Senate were sponsored by Republican senators. Clearly, if it would have gotten to the floor, it would have passed. However, the majority leader in the Senate bowed to the pressure of those three senators. So Senator Scott Fitzgerald, who I might add is running for Congress up in the Wausau area, but he decided to not even put the eight bills on the floor, which was unfortunate because the next time that the Senate is going to meet to be able to take up these bills is going to be in January. So the Assembly passed all of these bills all the way back in June. So unfortunately, all of these new resources that could help places like Wausau to try to meet this need are unfortunately on the shelf. And there was money, there was new money for more emergency shelter beds, to mental health treatment, to housing navigation, just a large amount. There was money for prevention activities. So this was a Republican plan coming out of the Walker administration, passed by a Republican assembly, sponsored by eight senators in the Senate, eight Republican senators in the Senate, and yet we got tripped up because Senator Scott Fitzgerald, the majority leader in the Senate, would not put it on the floor.
We do have a caller. It is Chris from Adams. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Hi. I was homeless for quite a while and lived in all kinds of situations, from on the street to trailers to my vehicle, blah, blah, blah. And so I have some empathy for this and a little bit of perspective from being there. I didn't want to go into a shelter because I have pets. I had two dogs with me, and I was not going to give my dogs up. It was pretty much all I had left in the universe at that point. And so that's an issue. I was wondering if you could discuss the tiny house concept where people are in a community. They usually have a community center with computers and phones, and they try and get people hooked up with services, and you have your own space, and you can have pets usually, and there's also a garden, so there are people like doing things together. The other thing I wanted to say is that I had contact with somebody who was living in the woods out here in a tent, and he had been addicted to crystal meth, got arrested, was coming back out into the community, seems real sincere about trying to straighten his life out. But that's a whole nother set of issues that makes it even harder for somebody than any other person to try and get their feet under themselves. And they need services, and there really sure needs to be some kind of specialized help for those people. And so anyway, okay. I was just trying to like find something for him to find housing, because it was getting cold outside, and I was like, you can't live in a tent in the woods in the winter. That's just not going to do it. He was on a bicycle. He didn't have a car. You know, all of those kind of hurdles are really hard to get over. It's taken me 20 years to get my feet back underneath me, and it was only because I had a family member that stepped up to the plate, and I got some inheritance money. So okay. It's real hard. It's very hard.
Thank you, Chris. So what about the tiny house idea? I mean, is this something that anybody's talking about in Wausau?
I can't speak too much to the tiny house concept. I understand what it is, but maybe I'll leave that to the other experts here. But I think Chris did a great job of identifying really the complexity that exists in homelessness, which is there are so many variables in terms of why am I homeless and what options exist for me in a community. I mean, you know, identifying the fact that some shelters won't accept pets. Some people don't want to go into shelters because there's too many people there. They're not comfortable in that environment. Other people aren't allowed in because they have AODA or mental health issues, and then a whole nother complexity is people that are incarcerated that are being released into the community, and what connection do they have to those social service resources in a community so that they're not homeless because they deserve a place to be too. So there's a lot of complexity there that was identified.
Have you heard any discussion about the tiny house thing? I actually did hear from someone locally who said that they were trying to put together a plan for something like that, but it's not quite ready to roll out yet.
Yeah, there's been some discussion here locally. Our Housing and Homeless Coalition out of the United Way has looked at that in the past, and there's usually some pushback within a community. Obviously, no one wants something like that next to them. Which is typically the resistance to it. But there are some models out there that are being looked at. There's a couple of different groups that are doing just that. I'm familiar with both of those two groups and have been approached by them on trying to, you know, look at that as an option. So I believe that the greater number of options that we have to bring an end to homelessness or to house those individuals experiencing homelessness, the better. So it's just a matter of what's right for that individual. There are a number of factors, whether it's the mental health or the substance use, the barriers that exist within our own shelter program in the system. You know, if you have a sex offender, you can't go to the Salvation Army because they have a family unit. So there's a barrier. If you're under the influence, you can't go there. Even our own Wausau Warming Center, individuals have been asked to leave and not allowed back because of their behaviors. So there are a number of individuals that are out there that even the shelter system isn't meant for them. I myself do the point in time count every year and came across an individual who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. He can't be around other people by his own admission. And he would prefer to sleep where he is because of those contacts and because of his trauma history. So I understand it, whether we all agree that people, you know, want to have that lifestyle. I don't think anybody really wants to be homeless. They just don't want to live in a situation where you tell them what they have to do.
Joe, what's your take on all of this? I mean, what about what Chris said?
Well, I think that's certainly true. I mean, homelessness is a very complicated issue, and that's why, from our standpoint, while we agree with Housing First, we want to make sure that it's a program and not just a slogan. So the question becomes, what kind of housing? And that's especially important. I mean, we've been talking today primarily about single adults with mental health issues and, you know, alcohol issues. But it's important to keep in mind that nearly half of the people in the state of Wisconsin that are homeless every night are young children whose parents don't have a place to stay. So that creates a whole other paradigm and program approaches that need to be looked at.
I'm glad you brought up the children who are homeless. This is something that the numbers are rather startling. The most recent numbers from the Wisconsin Department of Instruction by school district for last year, Wausau had 189 students that were homeless, D.C. Everest 130, so more than 300 in the Wausau metro area, 108 in Tomahawk, 136 in Stevens Point. Eau Claire had 311. Lac de Flambeau had 79. Even Marion, Little Marion, population of just over 1,200 people, had 23 students who were homeless. I mean, do those numbers surprise you?
Well, to be clear, one has to keep in mind that the way that homeless people are counted at the federal level is problematic because there's the HUD definition, which is relatively narrow, and then there's the Department of Education or in the state of Wisconsin, the DPI definition, which is a little bit more broad. However, the reality is that DPI in the last year counted nearly 19,000 incidences of children at school who were homeless, according to the DPI definition, and that has grown in the last 2 years by 9.5%. So we're certainly not going in the right way there.
And, Dan, you mentioned the point in time count that you participated in. That is, can you explain what that is for people who might not know?
Well, twice a year we go out into the community, communities all over the state on the same evening and count the number of individuals that are either unsheltered, staying outdoors, or in our actual shelters. And we compile that data so that we have a snapshot of what homelessness looks like on any given night, and that's really the best way to say it. And so what we find is that our numbers here in the Wausau area have consistently been in that 100 range. That's the number of people that are either in the shelters or that we find outside living in places that are not fit for human habitation, whether it's under a bridge or in the woods or abandoned buildings or vehicles in parking lots, so which is becoming more common. Because we have a new group of homeless that are the working homeless, where you've got families that they can't get into the shelter because we only have one shelter unit at our Salvation Army, and there's simply not enough resources there for them, and so they're shacked up in houses. And to Joe's point, a lot of this goes back to the definition of what homelessness actually is. The Department of Public Instruction says that any child who doesn't have a fixed family or housing unit of their own. So that counts all of those people that are doubled up. And a HUD definition is different. It doesn't include those. So that's where the greatest, you know, contradiction of our numbers are. So we can't even agree on our numbers right now of what homelessness actually is. But, you know, the problem is much bigger than what we think it is.
And Joe, you've been quoted in several news outlets discussing the limits of the point in time counts. Why is it so difficult to pinpoint this exact number?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. About 3 years ago, I noticed that the Detroit, Michigan point in time counts had been cut in half, meaning that they had been very successful in making homelessness smaller in Detroit. So I wanted to look into what their success was. Well, it was during the part of time that Detroit was bankrupt. So there was a snowstorm that night on that point in time, and they don't plow the streets. So they couldn't get the volunteers out. There's just so many variables in the point in time how many volunteers do you have to make the count? How willing are those volunteers to go underneath a bridge and some places that may be less than safe? How well organized it is? What's the weather that night? All kinds of things that it makes it hard to look at those numbers as, and I think as Dan said, it's certainly larger than the point in time count shows us. But the fact that we continue to find all kinds of folks out there on very, very cold nights when we send the volunteers out to do the point in time lets us know that there is a severe problem.
So, Chief Levin, you have resource officers in the schools, in the Wausau School District. How do they work to identify homeless students and match them with the services that they need?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was actually talking with one of our school resource officers last week about this issue. And, they work so closely with the school administration and with social services to identify the kids that are in need of a lot of different things, and housing is certainly one of those things. And what he expressed to me is the amount of care and concern that exists from the staff within the schools for these kids, and to make sure that they are connecting families to whatever resources exist in our community to make sure that the kids have a place to be, but also so that they have food to eat at night and on the weekends. And there's a lot of programming in the summer to make sure kids can come to school and have meals in the summer, and so there's a lot of programming around that. But really the key, I think, is the collaboration and the connection that our school resource officers make with people within the school, but also people within our community and organizations in our community that can help make an impact, so they can connect people and families to those services.
I'd like to talk a little bit about eviction prevention. This is one of the things that comes up frequently when we talk about how to prevent homelessness. I know in some communities there are eviction prevention programs that run in partnership with state and federal agencies. I did read that evictions for non-payment of rent make up about 85% of eviction cases statewide. So what kind of assistance is available to prevent eviction and prevent homelessness in the first place? Joe, maybe you can answer that.
Well, there's certainly some funds at the local level in the larger cities. There are some funds at the state level. In fact, one of the bills that unfortunately are still sitting in the Senate would have increased the amount of prevention funds. And it's a very fairly simple concept. You take a family that, because of some illness, a death in the family, or the car that broke, missed, or a sick child missed a week or a week and a half, 2 weeks of going to work. And of course, these are jobs that don't have paid time off and paid sick days and things of that sort. So that family maybe is short $400 to pay the rent for that month. The landlord wants to keep that tenant, but the landlord wants to get paid. So in a case like that, it makes much, much more sense to just provide that little bit of funding to keep that family in that housing, as opposed to having the landlord have to evict for non-payment of rent, the family losing all of their furniture, most of their clothes, the kids being torn out of school, having to go to a shelter, all the bad things that happen that can just be solved by a small check in some cases just to preserve that person or that family in their home.
All right. Dan, are there local programs that help with this kind of thing?
Yeah, there actually is. And there's a coalition here in the Wausau area, the Money Smart Coalition, designed to help individuals who struggle with maintaining and managing their finances. So there's budgeting classes, using Credit Wisely class. There's even a Rent Smart class that's taught by one of the lawyers from the Judicare program. And then, to Joe's made a reference to, cars that break down. There's the Wheels to Work program to help, families or individuals who need vehicles or have problems with vehicles. And they utilize our education system, like our high schools and community colleges and tech colleges, to service those vehicles and get them back up and running so those people have a way to get to work. So there are resources out there. The problem is that I don't think enough people know about them. And there's always this deer in the headlights. Everybody freezes when you're experiencing a difficulty. And that's exactly what you shouldn't do. So you know, in our own organization, we have a St. Lawrence advocacy program where we have budget counselors that help look at people's finances and help them develop realistic budgets to overcome those hurdles. But, you know, if we don't do anything about addressing poverty, we really will never truly make any forward progress on ending homelessness, because the spigot just won't slow down. People are continuing to enter homelessness at an even greater rate because of the hardship out there. Salaries don't keep up. Housing costs are ridiculously high in comparison. So,
okay. Wausau Police Chief Ben Bliven, Dan Mills from Catholic Charities, and Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness Executive Director Joe Volk are our guests today on Route 51. When we return, we'll continue this discussion on homelessness in our region and some specific strategies that may combat the issue. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Wausau Police Chief Ben Bliven, Dan Mills from Catholic Charities, and Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness Executive Director Joe Volk are our guests today as we discuss solutions to homelessness throughout our region. We'd like to hear from you, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. So, Chief Bliven, there was some mixed reaction to Wausau's ordinance. We talked about it earlier, but even the sharpest critics seem to agree that it brought the issue to the forefront. So what are some of the new initiatives and partnerships that have kind of come out of this that are being discussed?
Yeah, and I think it is a really important discussion that our community is engaged in, not just the individuals that are working in, you know, in homelessness like Dan and like Joe are, but our entire community. And so there are a couple of things that I'll talk about that are currently being discussed in the Wausau community. And one is the concept of a nonprofit hub. And so that's a discussion that's currently going on. And really what that is a campus of sorts for nonprofit organizations that work on homelessness to be on the same campus. So think about, you know, a shelter or two shelters and, you know, a food pantry and a free clinic and those all on one site. So somebody who's experiencing homelessness that isn't sure, to Dan's point, you know, maybe I don't know what services exist in our community. I can go to one place and I can get my needs met and understand what services exist. Maybe there's childcare on site. So a single parent could go there and have their kids watched while they go and learn how to do budgeting or see what other services they might qualify for. So that's the concept. It's really in its infancy and its discussion, but there's momentum towards bringing that to Wausau, and it allows the organizations to be less siloed, to work together more collaboratively, and I think it's something that could really help our community move forward.
Joe, what do you think about that? Have you seen something like that in other communities?
Well, what I've been advocating for Wausau and around the state, and to the extent that the ordinance has moved Wausau towards us, I think it's a good thing, is that there has to be a plan. The police chief has a plan to how to combat crime in Wausau. The Department of City Development has a plan how to redevelop the city. At some point, Wausau, and this is what I said to them 2 years ago, unfortunately hasn't happened yet, Wausau needs a plan. And that plan has to have what the goals are of the plan, how long it's going to take, and who's responsible for meeting those goals, whether it's the mayor's office or the coalition or the nonprofits or the police chief or the hospitals in the area, whatever it is. It's got to be, written on a piece of paper, probably many pieces of paper. It's got to have goals, metrics, and who's accountable to make it happen. Because without that kind of a roadmap, it just ends up being kind of a piecemeal, and it just becomes, like we've seen many, many studies that just kind of sit on the shelf being a dust cover.
So you're saying we need to move beyond suggestions and into action.
Yes, and most important is who's responsible, what are the metrics, and what's the timeline? So that if the mayor's office doesn't do what it said it was going to do, there's a group that can point to the plan and say, hey, you didn't get this done, or whether it's the, you know, local hospital system, whether it's the common council, whether it's the county, whoever it is, you have to sit around the table and say, you said you were going to do this and it's not done. Why? And how can we help you get it done?
Are there other communities that Wausau or other cities in our region can look to that are doing this well, that are succeeding, that can be used as a model, perhaps?
Well, there's certainly Milwaukee, Madison. They have a very extensive plan. The state of Wisconsin has a very good plan that came out of the Walker administration. So the a template is there. What's needed is the energy, and, you know, hopefully the chief can provide this kind of leadership of getting the stakeholders around the table. You have to get the it's not just the nonprofits that have to that kind of do this work. It's the mayor, it's the county, it's the hospital systems, it's the DA, it's the jails, it's all of those people have to be around the table, create the plan, and then be responsible for it.
I did see the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness had some recommendations to eradicate homelessness, and one of them is to reduce criminal justice involvement. I thought that was interesting. Chief, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, to Joe's point, we are, frequently in the community media, and we're in the leadership in our community. We have relationships with city, county government. So I think it's difficult for us to remove ourselves completely. But if I'm being totally straightforward, I would say that, for us to be boots on the ground impacting homelessness is a difficult thing because people see a law enforcement officer, and especially some of the individuals who are experiencing homelessness, who are living on the streets, they see law enforcement as a negative person, somebody that isn't going to help them because of experiences they've had in the past being arrested or issued citations or whatnot. And so it's difficult for a law enforcement officer to be involved. Now, that doesn't mean that we as an organization shouldn't be involved, because we should. We see the issue. We're in people's homes. We understand to some level the difficulty that exists in our community. So I think we do need to be involved. And, to talk about another group that we're working to – that we're actually – our first meeting is tomorrow. We have a lot of the people that Joe talked about and involved in this group. And, we have somebody from the Landlord Association, and we have a lot of the nonprofits working together. We have city and county leadership involved in this meeting, and, some other individuals to talk about and then develop a plan and say, I think we've talked a lot about it. You can look at the Life Report. You can look at the Housing and Homelessness Coalition 10-year plan that was developed about 4 years ago. There's a lot of data exists. There's a lot of information about programming that we need to put in place. And so this group that will start meeting tomorrow, the plan is to have a relatively short timeline and to really put into action some of the recommendations that currently exist in our community. And so I think the leadership exists there to be able to do that and move that along at a faster pace than what we've seen.
Dan, at Catholic Charities, what would you like to see happen in the future? What do you think needs to happen to move this community forward?
Well, like Ben said, this community has got a lot of the resources already in place. It's whether or not we're able to all get together and work, in a constructive way. And the tragedy of it is that I think that we've spent a lot of time trying to reinvent the wheel. We've spent a lot of time, for lack of a better way of saying it, fighting over the sandbox. If we all just play well together, we can get to that point where we can end this and really make some headway on our homeless on the homelessness issue here in Wausau. We do have a 10-year plan, and I've actually been very critical of it in the past because it seems like all we do is talk about homelessness, and there's very little action or moving towards a solution. And, I think that's one of the reasons why Catholic Charities made the decision a couple of years ago to start this program, is because there wasn't a lot being done. And, so someone had to do something. And, that's how we came to be. Mm-hmm. But it's, the problem is growing faster than we can address it. So if there's not a concerted effort from everyone, then the police department does a great job in mediating a lot of the interactions that happen out on the streets, then there are people that are hesitant to talk to them. I oftentimes don't understand why myself, because you know every interaction I've ever had with any officer has always been pleasant. So, you know, but I guess I'm not on that side of that. So I think the expectation is that the police are simply a tool in this way to offer out those resources that are there, and then pull those people together, or at least get them to where they need to go in order to get the help, because you know the officers are going to have the contact out there. Now, one of the components of all of this that hasn't happened is our county. You know, we have a we get a lot of pushback in the city because it seems like all of the homeless population is here in Wausau. Well, yeah, it may seem like that. They're not. It's just they're harder to find, and there's not a lot of resources elsewhere in the county. So they're either going to be centered here or they're going to be centered down closer to Marshfield, mm-hmm. which happens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the county doesn't come to the table either, then we're not going to move forward in finding a solution either.
I guess I have one question. We have the warming center that's open in Wausau during the cold months, yeah. For overnight at least. And then there's the Salvation Army. Then there are other places. Are there enough beds for people who want them?
No. And, you know, and I don't believe that shelters are the answer. I think the shelters are a key first step in getting people connected to their resources. But right now we have at the warming center, and Joe mentioned earlier, a no barrier shelter. Well, we're as close to a no barrier shelter as we have in our area, but it's only open 6 months out of the year. And if you want to put it into perspective how off our numbers truly are, how do we have 164 people coming through our warming center door, and yet we only have 100 homeless in our area? Mm-hmm. And we're only open half the year. But, you know, so the idea is that individuals can present at the warming center, and we can't take families, so that's a barrier. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said we're the closest thing. But, you know, we're not a totally no barrier shelter. We don't have the resources for families. So, and then the Salvation Army, they have, you know, a separate women's and men's area, and they have one family unit. The women's community also takes individuals, but only if they're suffering or victims of domestic violence or sexual assault. You know, so there's some barriers there as well. And whether we open up more shelters or not, it's not going to solve the problem. It's just going to house people for one more night so that they can suffer again tomorrow.
Joe, what are some other barriers to housing that need to be overcome? I know affordable housing for one thing. You know, I think Wausau has, if I remember correctly, about 600 low income housing units available. Is that part of the overall problem? Not enough low income housing?
Well, certainly housing affordability is a huge issue. I mean, you see the craziness of it out on the West Coast in Seattle and Portland and San Francisco in terms of rents going crazy and literally thousands and thousands of people living on the street. We're obviously not California, but housing affordability is a real issue. And what we know works to stop and to end homelessness is affordable housing, and many times with supportive services attached to that housing. So, and unfortunately, part of the eight bills that are in the Senate, that are stuck in the Senate, would address some of those issues. But unfortunately, it's clear that the federal government isn't coming to the rescue anytime soon in terms of affordable housing. So the state has to be challenged now to try to deal with that issue.
Dan, very briefly, just one last question here. We could talk for hours about this, I think. But you mentioned that there are many services available. Sometimes people don't know how to get at them. What is an easy way that people can find those services that they need?
Well, they could call the United Way. We have a great United Way here in Marathon County. And they can talk to someone there and get linked up with possibly some of those services there. But you have to ask the right questions. So, you know, that's one of the things that you can do. Any of the agencies that are out there, we all try to work together as best as we can. I know at Catholic Charities we have a walk-in day, so it's okay. Every Monday.
Every Monday. All right. Good to know. That is all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, Wausau Police Chief Ben Bliven, Dan Mills from Catholic Charities, and Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness Executive Director Joe Vogue. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer is Joy Ratchkramer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Coming up next week, we'll offer up a sneak preview of the John Altenberg Christmas Extravaganza. It's an annual holiday staple at Wausau's Grand Theater. Until then, we're headed out of town.